If there is no knowledge or understanding about the enemy, can there be the warrior? See, that's why we have to know what is the real enemy right now. Do you have enemy? What do you do to the enemy? Follow them? Be friendly to them? Associate more or what? See? If we don't know, like Lopa is our dear friend or dear enemy. Dear friend or dear enemy? Actually, it looks like friend, but in reality, it's dear enemy. Because there's no idea to get rid of it at all. Just follow it. So only Panya can see that it's quite difficult to see Lopa as that which should be eradicated or understand about it's not good. It's in here all the time, so close, closer than anything else, because as soon as one opens one's eye, it's there. So when there is no Panya, one cannot be warrior. How to conquer or understand it as enemy, their enemy. That's why even hearing about this, there is moment with Lopa almost all the time. Attached to what? What is seen. No idea that now there is attachment to what is seen, but it's there. So it's hidden, unknown, until Panya can see. No self, so what is there? Akusala or kusala? Because akusala cannot understand anything at all, even it's now, see? That's why just listen and consider what we heard from the teachings to see whether how true it is from moment to moment. And that is the development of understanding. Whenever there is the understanding of a reality right now, it's not I, but it's right understanding, so that one day when it grows, it can understand better and better what is there now. Otherwise, if one tries so hard to understand, it's impossible, because ignorance is so very, very much accumulated. So just learn to be natural. Because if there is the idea of I would like to have more panya, see, I would like to have more panya, and then what? No listening, no considering. No matter how much you would like to have panya, there's no condition for panya to arise. And one can see each word as reality, like chanda. See, is there chanda now? Even while one is sleeping, there is attachment to lying down for a while. See, follows by chanda. No matter is lopa or dosa, there is chanda to be such and such. So much to learn about whatever appears, not just by words, but by understanding the nature which is itself as it is. Little by little, very natural. That's why it's wrong to go to the meditation center and do something just to understand whatever appears. That is impossible, because it creates more and more self or attachment.
I also thought of the example you had yesterday, even when one is sleepy and there is Tina and Mida, and even at those moments there is Chanda and Virya. So whether we call Virya patience or effort, but it's there even at those moments. So different from our usual ideas of interest or effort or patience.
Is sleepiness moha, alopa, or what?
Different moments, because there can be moments of dosa with Tina and Mida at those moments when just a little bit of unpleasant feeling, and at those moments there's Virya and Chanda, other moments just not knowing anything with Moha, and then no Chanda, no interest or no Virya, so different moments.
Because while one is sleepy, there is hearing, see? And after hearing, what's there? Chanda and Lobha, and sometimes Dosa. It depends.
Whenever it is those moments with Lobha and Dosa, however slight, however whether Sasankaraka or Asankaraka, doesn't matter, but Virya and Chanda must be there.
Normally, after seeing appear, then normally we take it at people and thing. And it doesn't mean that it's always there's a wrong view behind, right?
Can there be Diddhasava?
Again?
Can there be Diddhasava?
Diddhasava.
Have you heard about the four asavas? Like the intoxicants or the very subtle defilements that arise immediately after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And one of them is dittasava. So it's a very slight ditti, completely unknown. Have you heard about that?
No, I understand what the word meaning. Okay.
So kamasava, the very slight attachment to what is seen or heard, completely unknown. And bhavasava, slight attachment just to being, just to living or existing. And dittasava, the slight unknown wrong view that can arise even now after seeing or hearing. And the last one, avijasava, ignorance, completely unknown, that arises straight after seeing or hearing. So it might seem that there's no wrong view, but it's unknown, it's unseen, arises so quickly, even long before there's any idea of someone or something, even in the sense door process, it can arise.
It seems like there is no the idea of self, but you don't know, but when you are asked, it's a you at that moment, it's there. So that is dittasava. Always I. But we cannot tell whether it is dittasava or pavasava or avichasava.
And I think that Eve, this is the point about when ditti arises. So after seeing, which is a vipaka citta and two more vipaka cittas, and even in the sense door process, ditti, the unknown, unseen ditti, can arrive with visible object or sound, with the sense object experience completely unknown, even before its mind door process. And then bhavanga cittas, and then mind door process. And again, it can arise long before there's any idea of someone or something. It can be there completely unknown. So we can't say there's no ditti now or at that time because it's so subtle. So as understanding develops and grows, it goes deeper and deeper, understanding more and more subtle kinds of ditti or mana or other akusala, until it's the anagami who can understand even the most subtle kinds of attachment. For the sotapanna, even the subtle ditti has been eradicated.
So, if it's pertinent, it may tie in with what Kunchu was speaking about earlier, about had some about DT and wrong view, and then I googled the kilesas, and that's when I found that strange thing about these Mara demon kilesas can become friends and converted from bad to good and taking all that nonsense. And I did want to have some discussion, if possible, about the defilements, pervasive, always present. If it isn't one thing, it's another coming up at different moments. So what I have thus far are the main lopa, the clinging, dosa, dislike, aversion, moha, ignorance, mana, conceit. But is it possible to have a bit discussion around the kilesas, please, on this topic?
I think Ajahn will say, what about now? What kilesa are there now? Because we can go through the book and list all the different kinds of kilesas and count all the different kinds of akusala cittas, but what about now? Is there lobha now? Is there dosa now? Is there mana now?
Ditti
can be now.
Yes.
Because we said it's so subtle, but does it appear now?
Well, what you just stated about how wrong view is there even before the idea of self.
But it's unknown. So if it's unknown, it means if it doesn't appear, if it's not apparent, then it can't be known. So the asavas are the very subtle kinds of attachment, wrong view, and ignorance that completely unknown, can't be known now at all. But when it's more obvious, when it's the idea that not just the conventional idea that the sound is the sound of thunder, but when there's the idea that thunder really exists, or that not just I'm looking at Eve or Sarah, but Eve or Sarah really is a being, then it's ditti. But it can only be known when it arises now.
And the characteristic of ditti is a tendency to warp or distort the reality, what is seen.
Yes, it's understood wrongly. For example, it's understood that it's not visible objects seen, but it's really some flowers that are seen in reality. Or there's the idea that it really is I who is speaking, or I who is hearing, not hearing which hears. This is the characteristic of wrong view. Taking reality for something or someone at this moment.
It's a distorted perception of reality.
If there's the idea that I need to have a good attitude first to understand reality, and by following this or that practice, I can get a good attitude and then I will be able to understand better. That's wrong view at that moment, because it's not understanding about reality at this moment, which is conditioned, not in anyone's control.
Jonathan, I remember some discussions with you at some point about, how am I going to put this, not there being, that sometimes there is attachment to objects without ditti. And yet, I'm understanding that with the asavas, there is nearly always attachment. There is nearly always ditti, subtle form of ditti arising with sense perceptions. Yes, with sense perceptions, various things. Can you explain further what you meant, please?
Well, usually when we talk about there is, we are talking about kilesas that appear, that
Sorry,
are kilesas that can be noticed. Whereas the asava level is unnoticeable.
Yes.
The comment that you mentioned originally was there can be attachment without ditti. Is that right? Yes. Well, mostly there is attachment without ditti, isn't there? Like liking what one had for lunch or liking what one is seeing at the moment is attachment.
Yes. Yes. However, yeah, we're looking at a bigger picture. The asavas, in all likelihood, arose as well, which means there is a form of ditti, although unknown to us, unknown unless there is a very high degree of panya. Is that right?
That's correct.
But yes, the grosser form of lopa, of ditti, I can see what you mean. We can notice the lopa, but are not taking it for self or something that exists, and we don't know the ditti that arises as an asava. Okay. Thank you.
If it's unknown, it means it doesn't appear, so we can't say there's no ditti, but it can't be known because it isn't apparent. And Eve, if there's the idea now, like the writer of this comment, if there is the idea that the akusala, like the ditti, can be turned into something good, is that right or wrong understanding?
It's wrong understanding.
So that's an example of ditti at that moment, when if one thinks that what is bad or unwholesome can be turned into something good, or if there is the idea that there is lobha all the time, or that sati can arise all the time, even for the Buddha or anyone, is that right or wrong understanding?
It's wrong understanding.
It's wrong understanding because it's the idea of something as permanent, not understanding anything about Dharma, which arises and falls away.
Yes.
So it can be known if it arises now.
And the other, if it's not Dharma, then it's concepts. And seeing or greater awareness of how huge the ignorance, little by little, and how much time in concepts. And it's not that concepts are bad per se. A Buddha, an arahat, has concepts, but the thinking of the arahat is different from putajana, worldling.
The concepts are no longer taken for being reality.
Someone actually asked at lunchtime whether the Buddha would have the arahat would have the same kind of conversation. So the arahat still uses concepts, knows who is who, but they cannot live in the lay life as we do, they cannot participate in the same frivolous conversations, and so even though they're still thinking of concepts, it's not like now thinking about the thunderstorm and the effect on the trees and the leaves and just mindless thinking with ignorance and attachment. So it's not like it is now.
We would like to hear more about Dhatu.
Another word of Dhamma, or absolute reality.
Yes. So the 18 dhatu.
Whatever is real, it has its own characteristic as dhatu, one kind of dhatu. Like the pasata rupa, the eye bears its dhatu as well. Whatever is real, that's why we can use the word rupa dhatu and arupa dhatu.
So the use of the word dhatu emphasize on the non-self,
yes, uncontrollable.
Uncontrollable.
It cannot be changed.
Okay.
But you see that we study a lot, but do we know anything about now in reality? keep on talking about this and that, but when one is asked, what is now? Can there be the answer even from one's own understanding be different, but it's true? For example, what is now? When we talk about kilesa, we try to find at what moment it's kilesa. But now, when one is asked, what is now? What kind of kilesa is there?
Then be doubt.
Or ignorance.
Or ignorance, yeah.
This is the basic for all akusala. That's why. And then how can there be a little more understanding of what appears now? Because we heard a lot from books about this and that, but it cannot understand this moment yet as not self. So what should be from the very beginning to understand the truth of reality right now? Because there must be reality only. Mm-hmm. But when there's no understanding, it appears like many things as concept, but actually, what is kilesa? What is now? Can we say that about kilesa, that there is kilesa right now? See, for sure. What kind? That is not enough just to know that there is kilesa. It's not enough because it's still I know I have kilesa now. But what kilesa? So many we can say that. But please tell just one at a time. For example, ignorance is there. It cannot know what as it is now. It cannot understand the difference between that which appears and that which experience. See, even right now, on and on from morning up to now, there are moments of seeing, for example, but no understanding what is really that which sees and that which is seen. What is it? Absolute truth of that which is seen now. And we keep remind oneself, if there is enough condition to understand that this is not yet the reality that we have learned, that it can appear because it appears like something. So when there is nothing, nothing in it at this moment, is it possible to understand what is seen as no one there at all, because one is used to take what is seen for something all the time? This is the beginning from what we have learned from life to life to understand this moment. And we can see that before it can appear as it is, it has to be the object and the understanding of it better, not just understanding what? Now, this moment, to understand the difference between sati at level of intellectual understanding and the direct one. There must be difference between the two. When it does not appear, as long as no condition for its arising yet, we cannot see how natural and how awareness is and what is that letting go because of understanding. So we talk a lot so that one day it will condition such understanding, but it has to begin now from reminder again and again about what is there which appears closer to reality, which appears or not yet. No one can tell, only oneself. As soon as there is sound, there is the idea of something, see? Rain, it's rain, it's raining, see? But the sound is gone completely, no self, no one at all. Just learn to understand this moment by thinking, because no one can stop thinking, but thinking rightly or wrongly. But when it's right thinking, it thinks about that which is heard as it's gone. And it arises again, but not that one which has gone. That which has gone cannot arise again to be known or to appear or whatever, because it completely, forever, never again. That's why from hearing it begins to be the inclination to see the danger. What is the use of just hearing again and then hearing again now and seeing again and seeing again without understanding? So the best thing in life is to hear the teachings and consider the truth and begin to understand the moment now as it is. First, not just the level of whether it is asava, like kamasava or tittasava or avichasava, just to know the difference of the two different characteristics, that which appears and that which experience. Because there are now these two kinds. Otherwise there is a self trying to think about kilesa, asava, and so on. From moment to moment, it takes quite a long, long time because it has to be done without self, not I. But by conditions, from hearing, and everything goes naturally as usual. But there's a little more understanding of this moment.
And when we read about dhatus or elements, like Ajahn says, it's like what is Dhamma, that which has a characteristic. And why 18? Because this is one way of classifying Dhammas to show that whatever is real in life, whatever life is dhatu or element. So we learn that seeing is a dhatu, I sense is a dhatu, visible object is a dhatu, 3. Hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, the same 15 elements. So these are the realities that make up life now, the moments of experiencing the sense object and the sense basis. And then we learn another dhatu, mano dhatu, includes just 3 more cittas that only experience an object through the sense doors, the adverting consciousness, the panchadwara vajana citta, and the 2 sampatichana cittas. So there are 3 more cittas now, completely unknown, which only experience an object through the sense doors. And hung, why is santirana citta not included as mano dhatu?
Your question is why santirana is not
mano dhatu. Mano dhatu. So we have 15 dhatus, seeing visible object, seeing I sense visible object, etc. And then mano dhatu includes 3 more cittas, which can only experience an object through the sense door. That is panchadwara vajana citta and the 2 sampatichana cittas. Not santirana. So why not santirana? We had the answer the other day.
I think it's also through the mind or...
Because it has different functions. It can also experience objects through the mind door when it has a different function. So just these 3 cittas, mano dhatu, and then mano vijnana dhatu includes all cittas not yet mentioned. So apart from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and these 3 cittas, all the other cittas are mano vijnana dhatu. So it's just to show that any kind of citta, any kind of experiencing, is just a dhatu, it's just dhamma, just an element now that has a characteristic, nothing else. And then the last dhatu, mano vijnana dhatu, includes cetasikas, sattva rupas, and nibbana, just like dhammayatana. So these other dhammas that haven't been mentioned so far are dhamma dhatu. So it shows that whatever is real, whatever is experienced, whatever experiences, is just a dhatu, nothing else. And this is the all. So if someone says there is something else, there is a living flower or there is any other reality, it means not they don't understand what is dhatu. So in this way, just 18 dhatus. And they can be classified in other ways too. We can just say nama dhatus and rupa dhatus, just two kinds. But when we're talking about 18, these are the different ways that they are classified to show that's all there is, nothing else is dhatu. And so even nibbana is dhatu.
So I am not yet clear about, you know, like why they are classified like that. Like why they are classified in this way. Like what is in common between the ear sense and ear consciousness and a sound, the object, and you know, so we can read in the book and know how they are classified, but I still don't get why they are classified like that.
Like now, moment of hearing, there is hearing consciousness of that sound which is impinged on the ear sense. So the sound is impinged on the ear sense is a condition for hearing. So it's to show that at that moment, each reality, the sound now, the ear sense, and the hearing are dhatus.
So the five, the okay, so five times three?
15.
So they are 15. So did it to show the experiences through the five sense doors?
At this moment.
At this moment.
And then it indicates that actually there are three more cittas unknown now, which also experience sense objects only. So it mentions them by way of another dhatu. Because apart from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, three more cheetahs can only
experience. Manodhatu, okay.
And then it's like, in short, all the other cheetahs are also dhatu. So they are included as manovinyana dhatu.
Okay.
But so not, there are not just cheetahs. There are also chetasikas which arise. And there are also other rupas apart from these gross rupas we've mentioned. There are all the subtle rupas. So these are dhamma dhatu because they are also realities that experience or are experienced.
Okay, so you have mano dhatu, mano vinyana dhatu, and dhamma dhatu.
Dhamma dhatu, yes.
So the mano dhatu is averting a sense of averting consciousness and the true sampatichana chitta.
Yes, because they are the only other cheetahs which only experience an object through a sense door. Okay. Sampatichana can't have any other, doesn't have any other function, but santirana does.
Santirana, in which case?
And, yes.
Santirana can experience object through the mind door.
Through the mind, or for example, when it has the function of tadaramana, can be through eye door or mind door.
Okay, so that's
you're
clearer?
Probably looking for a parallel of the last threefold classification with the earlier ones. There isn't one.
Like when they are classified. One in 15, and the other there are three, and then the rest, I just wonder what is the common thing between them to be classified in the same.
And when we look at Dhammayatana, the realities are included are the same as it, when we were talking about Dhammayatana, but it's a different aspect that's being stressed, because when we're talking about the Ayatanas, we're talking about the meeting and the association of those dhammas, but when we're talking about the dhatus, it's stressing that they are just dhammas which have a characteristic, but it's still pointing out that there are just those realities, no concepts included. So that's why, whether we're talking about dhatus or ayatanas, it cannot be the same as Dhammaramana, like it mentions in some books.
So the Manovijnana Dhatu are the remaining chittas. Okay, and then Chittasika Satorupa and Nibbana is the Dhamma Dhatu.
So how many dhatu you understand now?
18?
Or you know now?
Except Nibbana,
no.
But not all appears.
I ask how many, so please.
So now. Seeing.
Pardon?
Seeing.
The seeing dhatu?
Yes, so 15 of them.
I don't ask about number. I ask about what.
What is known, what appears now.
Okay, so what seeing dhatu,
you know,
visible
now,
object.
Or understand, visible object, dhatu, what in. Do you know the Pali term?
Rupa Ramana.
Okay, Rupa Tatu, in short.
Rupa Tatu.
Okay, in short. And what else?
Hearing.
Hearing. I mean, do you know
hearing
that
tattoo.
Seeing is different from Rupa Tatu? So is that one is now sees, and you know that it's a tattoo.
Yes.
To understand it as tattoo. See, not just talk about how many tattoos, but to understand the tattoo now as it is. Seeing is chakku.
Chakku vijnana.
Vijnana tattoo. And is there chakku tattoo?
Chakku tattoo. Is it the eye sense?
See. And what else?
So the sutta hearing is, I'm not sure.
Three
the
to. Seeing now,
yeah,
and three at
three,
moment
four,
of hearing.
Hearing.
But can it be known like the chakku tattu and
chakku tattu doesn't appear,
but it's there.
It's there.
So we learn just to understand that whatever we are talking about realities, which is daily life, but depending on what appears and what does not appear. Like there is seeing now as tattu or dhamma, see, different from rupa tattu, which is seeing. But about the chakku tattu, even it's there, just know that it's there. And can it be directly experienced?
Only by highly developed panya.
So what tattu is there when it's experienced?
It's it chakku tattu.
Reality cannot be changed at all. No matter it is experienced or not experienced, chakku tattu must be chakku tattu because it's the rupa which is the base for seeing consciousness to arise, and it's the only rupa that the rupa ramana can impinge on it. Just one tattu. Chakku tattu has to be chakku tattu. That's why all tattoos have its own characteristic. Nobody can change from chakku tattu to be rupa tattu or to be chakku vijnana tattu. Just learn to understand. And can the three mind be known like mano tattu? Manovijnana tattu and Dhamma tattu.
We know it's there, but they don't appear at all.
When we talk about the 18 tattu, is sound the Dhamma tattu?
Sound, no.
But
or
when we talk in general,
rupa.
All Dhammas are Dhamma, and by way of tattu, they are all tattu. So if there is the understanding of Dhamma, no doubt about whether it's tattu or not, but since they're so different, that's why we have to know better why they are different. It cannot be the same tattu, but it has to be tattu anyway. In order to have less attachment to the idea of self from learning and thinking over it. Otherwise, it's useless to read from the book and talk about it, just the number. But it's now. By way of Ayatana, it's now. by way of Patijasamupada is now, no matter we are talking about what, but it has to be not only the intellectual understanding. One day it will condition the direct understanding. By then, no doubt about the moment of direct awareness or direct understanding.
I find the term dhatu not particularly taking account of the classification, but just impersonal element to describe what is appearing now, quite helpful. So regardless of the way it's classified, I think it's very useful to have that term and the classification as a reminder. We talk about the aggregates, the dhatus, the ayatanas, and those terms each have a particular meaning or significance. Each of those terms is a reminder in a certain way of the nature of realities. But perhaps for me, dhatus is the best reminder of them all.
So depending on the accumulations that the Buddha taught people sometime by way of dhatu, by way of ayatana, or by way of khanda. Okay. So in the suttas, the Buddha also mentioned about the 18 dhatu, but in details or... Okay.
Can it be more than that?
Can I?
Really? Can it be more than 18?
Like how many cittas are there now? It could be counted like...
Depending on the classification.
A billion cittas, so it could be a billion dhatus or... They're just different numbers, but it's just one way of looking at dhatus, but it could be any number.
Okay, yes.
By way of two, by way of four, by way of...
Just because many people argue that in the suttas, the Buddha doesn't use the word like cittasika or something like that. So I wonder whether when the Buddha mentioned the details about the 18 dhatus, it's
so usually it will just mention, for example, Dhamma dhatu, and that's why it's easy for there to be misunderstanding, because if they haven't studied the details in the Abhidhamma, they just assume, oh, seeing and visible object, hearing and sound, so then they think it's thinking and mind object, so then they think it's the same as Dhamma, Ramana or something. Mm. So without studying the Abhidhamma, it will always be misunderstood because it doesn't mention that.
So normally the cittas are the objects that appear in the Maitreya. And in this case, the remaining cittas are classified as mano vijnana dhatu, and all the other realities are classified under dhamma dhatu. Is there any reason for this? There's not only Dhamma dhatu and then all the other citta belong to that category, why it has to be classified into two? Dhamma vijnana dhatu and then Dhamma dhatu.
Right. Sarah explained already that there are five mentioned right in the groups of the senses, and then the other three that only appear, only experience objects through the sense door.
Yes.
And then the rest. So isn't that a reason for...
I'm clear about that part.
Right.
But about the citta, that mano vijnana dhatu, all the remaining cittas, they are under mano vijnana dhatu. And then the cittasikas and the satarupa and ribbana under dhamma dhatu. But in other kind of classification, we know that they all belong to, let's say, Dhamma, Dhammana. So I just wonder whether there's any reason that we know, but it's not a big issue.
So in different kinds of classifications, like sometimes more dhatus are given, so it just depends, or like Vedana, sometimes classified as three, and sometimes as five, and sometimes more and more and more, so it depends on the detail, like here, stressing about, like now at moment of seeing, and the rupa experienced and the eye base that it impinges on, and then any cittas and chetasikas, also subtle rupas which don't appear so obviously. So it depends on which classification. I don't usually think about why, like the other day Robert said, why did it just mention Sanya, Vedana and Vitaka? Why didn't it mention the other chetasikas? But they're implied in other classifications. Other chetasikas are stressed. Or when talking about the khandhas, rupa is first because of the importance of rupas taken for a whole or a body.
So if a reason is not given in the texts, then we're just speculating, really.
It's what real is Dhamma.
Yes.
But so many number, so many Dhamma, so many Dhamma. And how can we know we are talking about what Dhamma? Mm-hmm. By what way? Dao way or whatever? Because they are different. That's why there are many explanations for the way it is, mm-hmm. as different tattu. They're all Dhamma, see? But talking about Dhamma, they have different characteristics, different ones. So we talk about tattu of each Dhamma as it is to show the difference of all Dhammas. For example, seeing is real by way of Dhamma. It cannot think, it cannot experience sound. So it's a reality, a tattu, different from other Dhamma, which is different, or other tattu, see. That's why we talk about each one as being its own, as it is. Like Chakku Prasata, it's not the Chakku Vinyana. The Prasata is not that which sees. So it cannot be that kind of tattu, but it is just that which is Chakku Prasata or Chakku Tattu, see? Because when we don't use Chakku Vinyana, we mean the Chakku Prasata, a tattu. Just to show the difference of each. It depends on how much there can be the understanding of the difference.
And the point of having different classifications is so that they are considered as a different aspect. So you asked why certain things are grouped together, but in another classification they're not. Well, that's the whole point of different classifications, is to approach differently and analyze differently.
Can the lopa be chakku tattu? See, just to know the difference. But lopa cannot be that which the object or the visible object can impinge on. Can chakku vinyana be mano tattu?
No.
Why?
Because mano dhatu is only mano averting consciousness, the consciousness and the chu sapatichana.
What? How many chetasikas arise with the sampatichana and santirana?
Not sure. See? More than seven.
Yes, but how many chetasikas arise with sampatichana, and how many chetasikas arise with santirana, because they are different. But how many chetasikas arise with sampatichana and santirana?
I have to look at the text.
Pardon?
They need vitaka to arise.
They have vitaka. Those two have vitaka as well. Yeah? So what makes a difference? Different tattoo, see? Even vitaka is there. I mean that the sampatichana, can it be mano-vinyana tattoo? See? It cannot. Why? How many chetasikas arise with sampatichana, and how many chetasikas arise with santirana?
more with Santirana.
Really?
At least the seven universes.
At least, do you mean that it can be more? There can be more? Well, only that.
I think can be more.
Look at the book and find out. By now, you can have more understanding and remember the difference between the two different tattu, manotattu and manovinyana tattu. See? If we don't talk about the cetasikas, we just know that they are different. But by the cetasika which arises with them, is there different? Is vitaka which arises with sampatichanna different from the vitaka which arises with santirana? So how many cetasikas arise with sampatichanna? And how many cetasikas arise with santirana? Only these two. More than just the 10. We talk about just one by one citta, which are ahetuka. But the difference is what? So we learn little by little to understand better and better in order to be conditioned for direct awareness to understand whatever appears as what is nama and what is rupa, but not the details like cetasikas which arise with it.
Because sampatichana and santirana, first of all, they are hetuka, so they cannot have any akusala factors arising with them, and they cannot have the sobana factors. But apart from the seven, so one has to think of which of the particulars they can have. And they can't have, like we discussed this morning, they don't have chanda and virya, and they don't have piti, because it's neutral feeling. So, and they don't have adimokkha, no determination. But they must have vitaka and vichara, so that's 9, I think.
Patsa. เวทนาสัญญาเจตนาเอกคตาชีวิตตินทรีย์แล้วก็มนสิกาละ7ประเภทส่วนปกิณกะก็มีวิตกวิจารแล้วก็อธิโมกครับ3เป็น10
อธิโมกค่ะ is there so
อธิโมกได้ so arise with moha
โมจาวิจิกิจฉาสัมปยุต
กิจฉาวิจิกิจฉา only oneMoha Mulajita. See the cetasikas, same number and same kind.
10.
What makes the difference of the two? Just same.
One can perform other functions and one cannot.
They have different function. After seeing has fallen away, can santirana arise at once?
No, it has to be after Santipashina.
The receiving, as soon as the seeing has fallen away, the next one receives the same object but cannot perform the function of seeing. So only citta which can see is only seeing consciousness, the two, kusala vipaka and akusala vipaka. Only that which sees now, or no matter in what world, as fish or dog or cat,Or Deva, seeing is seeing. Even the Buddha seeing, how many cetasikas arise
with
Buddha seeing?
Seven.
Exactly the same. This is the meaning of tattu and the dhamma. So the difference is that sampatichanna cannot perform the function of santirana, and santirana does not perform the function of sampatichanna. The question arises more.Why? Because seeing arises at the eye base, but sampatichanna arises at the heart base. And when it's just first, which receiving the aramana after seeing has fallen away, but it arises at the heart base, it's not as stable as the next one,
which is the second moment of arising at the heart base. That's why Santirana performed the function of Santirana, not Sampaticcana. Even they arise at the heart base, but and have the same amount of citta-sika, same kind, but since the first moment is different from the second moment, just that. That's the reason why Santirana Kusala Vipaka and the Santirana Akusala Vipaka can perform the function of Patisanti. That one which arises with Somanasa cannot, because when it is Somanasa, it has to be the function of Mahavipaka or Kamachara Vipaka, not Santirana. Because it accomplishes with pleasant feeling, see, not only indifferent feeling.
So when it's when the santirana that experience the very present object, so the feeling is somanasa. In that case, is
the object is pleasant, more pleasant.
Very pleasant, yes. Yeah. Then the feeling, the vedana, is somanasa instead of neutral. And in that case, does the piti arise as well?
Think over it, and then that can be the answer by yourself.
I think it's yes, but
maybe not today, but later on. See, that's why it's your own understanding. What is the question?
When the santirana experience the very pleasant object, and the feeling then is pleasant. The question is piti there at the same time, the particular citta-sika?
Does piti arise with somanasa feeling?
Yes, most of the time, except in the jhana.
Right. Yeah. Not just remember the number, but to know the difference. Same object, same cetasikas, but difference.
Sorry, when we're talking about manodata, because no santirana, so just the sampaticcana with the 10 citta-sikas.
It conditions just a little more, less attachment to take it for self. By sankhara khanda, not by that I, or me, or the self at all.
Not being, want to be, being the hot seat, but seem lost. Just like hearings and visible objects, sound.
That's why listen carefully and think over it to understand. For example, when we talk about sampaticcana, it arises after seeing. And after sampaticcana has fallen away, the other moment cannot be sampaticcana because it experience rather just a little more than sampaticcana, because sampaticcana receive, so the next one, picharana in Thai, investigate that which is received already. It does not receive anymore, but it is there.
Explain a little more in simple terms. So we know in an idol process, there is the adverting consciousness, and then the moment of seeing, which is a vipaka citta. And then we know, because we discussed it the other day, there are two more vipaka cittas, you told me. And the first one is sampaticcana citta, and the following is santirana citta in Pali. And then there is a kriya citta, and then kusala or akusala cittas. And that first vipaka citta that follows seeing consciousness, it experiences the visible object, but it doesn't see it. It just receives it. And the one that follows experiences the visible object and investigates it. We could say it's a little bit stronger, or because it is the second one, it can also have other functions, that kind of citta. And we were discussing which kind of cetasikas accompany those different cittas. So as you said the other day, seeing is
only accompanied by seven cheetah seekers. It's a weaker cheetah, it doesn't need any other cheetahs. It's an ahetuka vipaka cheetah, and it doesn't even need vitaka. And we discussed the other day that the other vipaka cheetahs need vitaka to touch the object. And whenever we say they need vitaka, it means they also need vichara. So vitaka and vichara always arise together, except at some moments of jhana. So at those moments of sampatichana and santirana, they need vitaka, vichara. So that is nine chetasikas. And what we also found out is that they also need adimokkha chetasika, which is like determination. So we can see it's quite different from our conventional idea of determination, because these are ahetuka vipaka cheetahs, but they still need that adimokkha chetasika, so 10 chetasikas. So they need just a few more chetasikas than seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So one point was about which chetasikas, and another point was about why sampatichana only has one function, so it just has the function in the eye-door process to receive the object. That's all, nothing else. But santirana, which follows it, can have other functions. Like we discussed, that cheetah can also have the function of patisandhi, of birth, like when it's birth in an unhappy realm, or birth in the human realm where there are no roots, where they're on this handicapped, because that santirana cheetah is the one that follows. So it is a little bit more powerful and can have those other functions. So that was the second point. And the third point was when we were discussing about dhatus, why after mentioning the dhatus, which are seeing, visible object, eye base, and so on, why there is a dhatu which includes just the three other cheetahs which only investigate an object in the sense door. And these are the sense door of adverting consciousness, the Panchadwara Vajana cheetah, and the two Sampatichana cheetahs. And the reason is because the Santirana has other functions. It can experience through the mind door. So that was, those were the main points. And Nina has another point.
Ajahn also stressed that the Sampatichana is the first citta after seeing that arises at the heart base, so it's not so stable yet. And the Santirana is the second one at the heart base. I remember this because Sundara was so impressed by this.
Yes, it's because like the seeing consciousness arises at the eye sense and experiences the visible object, but all the other cheetahs in that process arise at the heart base. So when it's the first one after seeing arising at a different base, at the heart base, it's not as stable or not as strong as the second one, which arises at the heart base and experiences the same object.
And the following, the Vrtapana is Ahetuka Kirya Chitta, because it can also do the function as mind or adverting Manodvara Ajana. I don't know my pronunciation.
Yes, and I would put it the other way around. So it's the Manodvara Vajana Chitta that has that function of Vrtapana. So the Vrtapana, that Kirya Chitta, that Ahetuka Kirya Chitta, that function of determining, or whatever we want to call it, is actually the function of Manodvara Vajana Chitta. So that's why it's not included in Manodhatu,
so
because it cannot be said to only experience objects through the sense doors.
And it's not Vipaka.
It's not Vipaka, it's Kirya Chitta, just like the Panchadwara Vajana Chitta, the beginning is Kirya Chitta. So the Panchadwara Vajana Citta is Mano Dhatu, but not the Vottapanna Citta.
What Dhatu is see in consciousness? No one hears what you say.
Chakku Vijnana Dhatu.
See, we begin to understand the difference. It is not Chakku Dhatu, and it's not the Rupa Dhatu, Vanna Dhatu, but it is that which experiences one object only. So it cannot be other Dhatu. It has to be only Chakku Vijnana Dhatu. Is Sampatichanna Vijnana Dhatu?
No, it's Mano Dhatu.
So why it is Mano Dhatu?
Because it's experienced the object through the sense door only, one of the three.
Can it experience object through mind door?
No, cannot.
That's why it's Mano Dhatu, because it can experience five objects through five doorways, while Santarana can experience six doorways. So Santarana is Mano Vijnana Dhatu, but Sampatichanna is Mano Dhatu, and Chakku Vijnana is Chakku Vijnana Dhatu only.
Did you get that, girl? Is it clear? So seeing is Chakku Vijnana Dhatu, no other reality, only seeing is Chakku Vijnana Dhatu. Sampatichanna is Mano Dhatu because it only experiences five objects through five sense doorways. Mano Dhatu. But Santirana Citta, the one that follows it, is Mano Vijnana Dhatu because it can experience an object through six doorways.
I have a question, yeah? I think it's so helpful if Ajahn could point out to us the relation with how it is, all this is a support for right understanding, to have a deeper understanding of realities now. All this, what we talk now.
To understand that not even one moment can be taken for self. Not even one reality can be taken for self.
But we hear many names now, and we try to remember. So how is the relation to, how can it be a support for direct understanding?
To understand that each word is not just only word, but it represents reality. Like seeing, see?
Yeah.
Seeing is not just the word, but it is that which sees, yes. Now.
But for Sampatichanna, which is harder to understand.
That's why. Thus it is the object of awareness now.
No.
That's why even in the Vipassana Jnana, nimitta appears, just like now. It's not the nimitta of the Sampatichanna or Sandirana and Vottapanna, but it's that which sees or hears or sound or hardness.
Yes. And what about Sampatichanna?
What about?
Sampatichanna.
Sampatichanna.
It's harder to know.
Does it appear now?
It doesn't appear now.
So when it appears to the Panya with awareness, does it appear?
It can appear when Panya is more developed.
But you see that after seeing, hearing, smelling has fallen away, what arises? It cannot be Panya which understands seeing right then. And when Sampatichanna arises and falls away, it cannot be Panya directly after Sampatichanna to understand it. So what appears in the jnana, which understand the object clearly, is exactly like now. But it does not appear altogether like now, just one characteristic at a time. That's why we can use the word appear well. But it begins to appear from the moment of direct awareness, even in the beginning, develop on and on and on, until it used the word vipassana, different from just satipatthana. That's why it is direct. From intellect understanding, it conditioned moment of direct awareness, and from the development of direct awareness, it conditioned the vipassanayana. So it's impossible without any understanding the pariyatti, there can be patipatti. And without patipatti, it's impossible to be pativeda.
Like now, does eye sense appear?
I cannot know.
No, but we still learn or hear about it, read about it, because it helps to understand how it's possible for seeing to arise at this moment. Because if there's no eye sense, visible object can't impinge. So in order to understand what the conditions are for seeing, we have to understand there is eye sense, and visible object has to arise somewhere, and there has to be a base to support that seeing. And the same way, Sampaticca and Santirana, they don't appear, but when we learn that after seeing there are two more vipaka cittas before kusala or akusala, it's to help understand that it's too simple just to say that after seeing there's kusala or akusala, because actually it needs three more cheetahs in between. Yeah. So gradually we just learn more details to understand more about the conditioned nature of different dharmas, like how is the birth consciousness of an animal, what cheetah has this kind of function. It doesn't really matter in the beginning, but it's just to gradually help understand the conditioned nature of dharmas, how they all arise in this intricate pattern and by these particular conditions, to see that definitely there's no one who can make an effort or do anything, but there are all these different dharmas.
Very good, yeah.
But it depends how much is useful to hear. Yes. Like if someone doesn't know anything about seeing as dharma, visible object as dharma, it's useless to talk about details of processes and numbers and or how many, about the 18 kinds of dhatus, because they don't even know what dhatu is. So we learn a little more only when it's helpful to really understand more about dharmas
now.
That's
very good,
I wanted to ask about sanya. Yesterday you mentioned that it recalls the object which vitaka touches, and this is by the, I think this would be by the through the mind, or since through the sense door, it's the object impinges on the pasada rupa, and sanya has no need to recall the object which is actually impinging on the pasada rupa. And is this what the mind or the Lasbawanga citta in the mind or needs sanya to recall the object which will be the object of citta of mind or adverting consciousness, the next citta after Bhavanga Chalana, Bhavanga, the last Bhavanga before Viti Citta. Is that the function of sanya is more important through the through the mind door than through the sense door. The function of recalling the object which has been previously experienced, and like memories, and like I can recognize you or the table and the chairs, and that's the function of sanya to.
Sanya arises with each citta.
But the object of mind or of the mind or process is only one for each process as one object only. And all these cittas remember the same object.
Sanya arises with each citta. If we keep on understanding this, is no matter at all. Doesn't matter. Does sanya arise with pavanga?
Yes.
What's the object of it?
Previous life object. The last object of the last citta of the previous life. That's Javanachitta. Yeah. So that object is not known by Viti Citta because it's it can be the object of Viti Citta. It can only be the object of Bhavanga.
Whatever Citta experiences, Sanya remembers or marks that object. So it depends on Citta whether what object it experiences.
It's your question, you're asking whether sanya in mind or process is stronger or more important or something like that?
No,
or different, or?
His question is the recalling function of sanya happens in the mind door process, not in the sense door process.
Yes.
But isn't that a conventional idea about it?
I'm talking about the object, so it can be a concept as well. Because we know the object of the mind or can be a concept.
Yes. So isn't the function of sanya exactly the same, whether it's in sense or mind or experiencing and marking and remembering at that moment?
But through the sense door, there is no need, there is no concept. The object of the sense door is not a concept, it's the rupa impinging on the sense.
That function of sanya doesn't depend on the object, the aramana, being a concept, so whatever is experienced, no matter its reality or concept, is marked and remembered. When you say recalled, it sounds like it's thought about or something, but that's just a translation. But at that moment when sanya arises, no matter it's in the eye or the mind or process, it's marking and remembering it at that moment for future recall. Like when dreaming, there's marking and remembering, and it's because there's been the marking and remembering at moments of seeing and hearing that there can be that marking and remembering of that concept while dreaming. So I think the recalling is just a kind of translational, conventional idea, but when sanya arises and remembers, it doesn't mean recalling like we in thinking or needing concept.
Can we say that recalling is just like thinking, it's thinking? Through what the way?
Mind of.
You asking about recalling in the conventional sense or as a function of sanya?
There are six the ways anyway. When it's not the five, it has to be mind of.
Thinking about what has been remembered, what has been the object of sanya.
no matter you call it dreaming or recalling, recollection or whatever, it's true mind.
And without that remembrance, there would be no thinking. Without that remembrance, that memory, there could be no thinking. Thinking in the conventional sense. Is that right? Because
how many doorways sanya can arise?
6.
Different ones?
Yes.
At moment of seeing, can sanya recall the past?
I don't know.
Different moment?
Yeah.
Seeing just arises to see, that's
all. That's right.
And sanya arises with seeing, marks.
Yes.
And remember.
It remembers it, but it doesn't. You asked whether it remembers the past.
At moment of seeing?
No.
But after seeing, then it can think about that which
yes.
is seen and the story about that.
Yes.
In the mind door.
Through the mind door, and that can bring.
Well, obviously, to recognize Anne as Anne, that has to be through the mind door. But Alberto is asking, the sanya that arises in the sense door, recall the visible object, that mark and recall the visible object at that moment, which is maybe different from recognizing the
yes.
table.
Yes, one's
table
in the sense door, one's
who.
In the mind door. Yeah.
This morning, Ajahn said about there's no generation, old people, young people with the same doba, loba, doha, and so on. I remember about a sutta, hopefully that I remember correctly. It said about the conversation between Buddha and Ananda. This old man came to see the Buddha, and the Buddha gave the Dharma, and later on Buddha smiles and Ananda asks, and Buddha said that if the old man came to listen to the Dharma 10 years ago, maybe he became a Sotapanna, or maybe if he came like 20 years ago, then he can be a Arahant. I don't know if I remember correctly that detail, but It for me it's a little bit difficult to understand that detail.
And what about before that?
Before
coming to see the Buddha, no matter 10 years later or 20 or 100
normal
years,
person.
Depending on conditions.
Someone might come as a child and not gain anything at all. So just depending.
The reason I ask because there seem to be easier for young people to understand, I mean, everything than the old people.
In order to be a monk, one doesn't have to wait until one is the age for being monk.
No.
You can see for one thing is how difficult it is for an elderly person to come here to listen to the teachings, or if one doesn't have good hearing or eyesight, how hard it is to hear or to read or something like that.
And another consideration is, well, I don't know if this applies in that particular case, but one has to hear the Dhamma repeatedly in order to develop it. So it may need some years or decades to develop to a certain point in a given lifetime. So if you're too late in the lifetime to hear the Dhamma for the first time, there's not enough time left in that lifetime.
Sick and going into hospital, are you going to listen for the first time?
When there's no accumulation, one wait until then and wait, go to see someone like Buddha in order to become that? Wait more until 10 years later and then go to listen to the teachings? Can that person become enlightened?
I'm sorry, not
just wait until then, until one getting that to that age in order to become enlightenment. Just wait, no understanding at all. See? So it does mean that Buddha didn't know the conditions of each personality.
I just want to slip in a question from Huang, the Vietnamese friend in Australia, because she's keen to hear Ajahn's comment, even though we probably could help in our own way. She says she's read many interesting topics about processes of cheetahs and Bawanga cheetahs from the Pure Dharma website. I'm curious about Bawanga cheetahs because they say it's not radiant mind, the pure mind, because if Bawanga is pure mind, it would mean that an animal like a dog, does he have a radiant mind? And I think that not long ago on our discussions, Bawanga cheetah is illuminated or pure mind. Please ask Ajahn to comment.
Who's Bawanga?
Any Bawanga cheetah. Bawanga cheetah is Bawanga cheetah.
Bawanga of a dog?
Is Bawanga cheetah.
Pure?
The cheetah itself is pure because it's not arising with any akusala cheetahs. It's just that vipaka cheetah.
Is it pure like kusala?
It's not kusala, but it's, we can say it's pandara, it's pure, but it's not radiant or pabasara, it's not arising with any kusala factors. So we say it's pure pandara because it's not contaminated by akusala, but it's not shining or radiant because there are no wholesome factors.
That's why there are two words, pandara and papasara. Kusala is papasara, but each citta, no matter it is a kusala, citta itself is pandara.
So I just elaborate for other people. So whatever citta arises in life, no matter in devil realm, human realm, animal realm, ghost realm, hell realm, the citta itself is said to be pandara or pure because even though it arises and falls away, it's not like the idea of pure in other teachings. It's impermanent, but it's pure because the citta itself is the innermost. It's not the citta which contaminates it. It's the chetasikas that arise with it that make it akusala or any or kusala. So the citta itself, the innermost dharma, is pure pandra, but it cannot be said to be radiant or illuminating or shining or these other words, because it's just the citta. Only when it arises with wholesome sobhana factors can it be said to be pabasara. So two different words. And often I think in Mahayana teachings in particular, they talk about the radiant mind and they have an idea if there is enough understanding, this radiant mind can be found that is there all the time. But whatever arises falls away instantly. So no matter we're talking about pandara citta or pabasara citta, it's impermanent and falls away straight away. So this is what she's asking about.
Yeah, moment ago, Ajahn talking about the six doorways which sanya arise. But yesterday, Sarah also mentioned about the Bhavanga Citta is not considered at the doorway. This six plus no.
So, cheetahs arise and fall away, the Bhavanga cheetahs, until they are interrupted by a sense door process or mind door process, like in sleep, in deep sleep, there are Bhavanga cheetahs arising and falling away, not experiencing an object through any sense door or through the mind, or that's why the object is completely unknown. They carry on in that deep sleep until they are interrupted by the mind or cheetahs which experience, which dream, for example, or sense door cheetahs in a process. So the Bawanga cheetahs arise in between processes of cheetahs, no matter whether short time, like between sense door mind door processes, or long time, like in deep sleep.
And I'm not sure if this directly answers the question, but it's somehow connected. The Bhavanga jittas don't arise in a process. The jittas arising of the sense door experience and the mind door experience arise in a process. So there's a doorway for the process.
Normally we mentioned about the kusala citta, and Sarah mentioned about the story, like at the moment of the generosity, thinking about the other being, something like that, with the metta there. So they are on the concept, and that when the concept is the object of the citta, it could be kusala or akusala, right? Right, and it applied not just the being, it's applied on also for the thing as the kusala or akusala. That's correct. Like when people thinking about a table, at the moment just thinking about a table, it could be kusala or akusala.
This. Like now, I'm just thinking about how I enjoy the design of the table with lobha, akusala citta, or there could be the wise reflection about how what is taken for a table is actually just hardness, in fact, no table there. So when we're talking about pariyatti, understanding about realities, concept is the object. Concepts about different realities, like when we're talking about sampaticcana, it's thinking about concepts about different realities, but it can be of kusala or akusala cittas. If we're thinking with confusion and doubt, it's akusala cittas. If we're thinking with any understanding, kusala cittas.
I'm not sure if I remember correctly, yesterday Jan mentioned about when the object is the concept, it cannot be accompanied with the panya. Panya only arises when...
I think she was talking about, maybe talking about satipatthana. When we're talking about satipatthana, it's direct understanding of a reality. But if, like when we're talking about pariyatti understanding, the object is concept. Or when talking about metta, the object is concept. Or when talking about generosity, like giving the flowers to someone, the object is the flowers or the person we're giving it to. No. So it's concept.
I mean with understanding or without understanding. Understanding can be there with the object as the concept, right?
So if there is moments of metta and generosity which are kusala but no understanding,
right.
Concept is the object.
Right.
If there are moments of metta and generosity with understanding, concept is the object. If there is considering wisely about dhatus or dharmas, and it's pariyatti understanding now, understanding is there and concept is the object. If it's direct understanding of reality, the object is reality. So considering about concepts wisely or unwisely.
In the development of samatha, for example, there is wholesome reflection about the subject matter, the earth kasina, metta, death, etc. Panya can arise.
Because yesterday, maybe I have the wrong understanding what Ajahn mentioned about.
She might have said something like, oh, it's just thinking about stories or thinking about concepts, like we might say this, like, whilst dreaming, it's just thinking about different concepts, different stories. Akusala cittas. or like just thinking about the colors of the tablecloth, just thinking about different ideas with our kusala chittas. But that doesn't mean they cannot be thinking wisely with concepts as object.
The object of pariyati is concept, but it's not a table. That's not the object of pariyati. Is a table the object of pariyati? Can a table be the object of pariyati? A chair can be object of pariyati?
Based on what I heard, it could be the object of the low level of the consideration, like low level of the understanding, as the concept, not the reality. Whilst we wisely reflect that, the table is the concept, it the appearance of the reality, maybe that's time wisely consideration that with the understanding may appear, may arise.
And if you consider the visible object, which can be a table or a chair or anything, as a reality, and then it is the object of can be the object of pariyati. But I don't think that if I don't think that thinking about the table as a table can be the object of pariyati. I don't think so. Because even at pariyati level, we are talking about reality. We are not talking about tables. We are not talking about chairs. So we are talking about visible object and seeing.
So I think what Alberto is saying is that in pariyati we talk about concept of a reality as being the object of understanding, but not concept of a table. Concept of visible object, concept of sound, it can be the object of pariyati. That's it.
Okay. But so what we just saying that the concept can be
say like now what is seen is visible object, not a table, because in reality there is no table, so they can be thinking about a table in this way, how it actually is just an idea. So at that moment the object of this thinking are concepts about visible object, concepts about the non-existence of tables. So it's can be wise reflection now with understanding. But concepts, it's concepts of realities that are being considered.
Could you please elaborate a little bit more? That make me confused again.
So if I ask Chung what is touched now, I'm sure he will tell me, okay, I ask him, what is touched now? Chong.
Hardness.
So when he says hardness, is the object of the thinking reality or concept?
Reality.
Is it the reality that is directly experienced at that moment?
No.
Because he's heard, he knows this is the right answer. So it's actually concept about reality. We know it's hardness, but at the moment of pausing and thinking, then hardness is touched. So it's actually a concept of reality. Or if I say to you, what's seen now? And straight away you'll say, visible object. But if it's not direct understanding, direct awareness of visible object, actually it's a concept of visible object. So this is pariyati understanding. Or if we're talking about dhatus and the 18 dhatus, we can be talking about them with some understanding about how they're just different dharmas now, which are anatta, and there can be some understanding at those moments at the level of pariyatti, but the objects are concepts, or there can be thinking about them unwisely with doubt or confusion, and the objects still concepts.
Okay.
Concepts about realities.
What tattoo is hardness?
Rupa. Tattoo. I'm not rupa, right? No. Rupa. I don't know the word in tattoo. Just rupa.
Have you heard the word patavi tattoo? Patavi tattoo.
Patui means hardness.
Is the word tattoo or the characteristic which is hard, tattoo?
We can say it at hardness, like it. Patui, earth.
It's not the word, but it's the reality which is hard. It's a tattoo. In Pali, it is patui tattoo. But if we don't use the word patui, can we say that it's a tattoo? And what else can we say about it as tattoo?
Visible object.
Hardness.
Hardness.
What else can we say about patui dhatu, hardness?
Hardness.
Element.
Hardness là cái này chưa học ạ. Cái này địa thủy hỏa phong là bốn cái đúng không? Hardness. It's difficult to
me. It's matter as long as it's a tattoo. Yeah. It depends on understanding about tattoo.
About the moment of touching.
Pardon?
About the moment of touching is
what tattoo is
hardness.
She didn't experience, it's you at moment of experiencing.
Actually, I don't understand what Ajahn asking tattoo meaning.
She's asking, forget the word dhatu,
okay,
because it's causing some confusion. So you mentioned hardness. We can call it patavi, it doesn't matter. We can call it tangible object, like if we're talking about the 18 elements, we just talk about tangible objects. So it's that hardness which is touched now. What can you say about it? What is its characteristic? What do you know about it?
What else can you use the word to specify that characteristic which is the regular experience?
At the moment of the touching, it can be hardness.
No, I didn't talk about the 13. I talk about the understanding of tattoo. In Pali, it's said patavi tattoo, but no matter it said as patavi tattoo or not, its characteristic is hard, so it's a tattoo. What else can we use for it? The word
characteristic.
Apart from the word dhatu, what else? The very first word.
Apart from patavi tattoo.
It's the reality.
But apart from patavi tattoo, what tattoo can it be?
Xúc chạm đúng thì hay là hotness.
Pardon? Just the characteristic which is hard.
Which is hard, right?
If we don't use the word patavi tattoo, what else can we use for that characteristic?
Temperature. No. Temperature concept.
Wow, I'm guessing.
Okay, but can we say other thing?
Can we say other?
Can we use different word besides just patui tatu? Can we use another word for tatu about that?
It's reality. Real.
Dhamma, all dhammas.
Dhamma.
And
not self.
Instead of saying heart or patui tatu, can we say another word for it? Yes, but see, can we use another word for that tattoo? Can we use the word potthappa tattoo?
Not just that which is hardness touched, whatever is touched. Potthappa tattoo.
It's a kind of potthappa tattoo. What tattoo are potthappa tattoo?
What realities fall under the potthappa dhatu? That is the dhatu that is object of body consciousness.
Touchings maybe like emotions.
Besides, yes, besides patthappa dhatu, what else is a kind of potthappa dhatu?
Motion, hot or cold. What can be experienced at touch?
So that's potthappa dhatu. So when we classify as touching and tangible object, so whatever is touched, the heat, the cold, the motion, the hardness, like you said, softness, whatever is.
That's the way to understand reality, not just by words, but from considering what is meant by potthappa. Is it tattoo? How many tattoos can be potthappa tattoo? So it's not wrong when there is right understanding to use the word that is true. Can sound be potthappa tattu?
Sound, no.
Maybe the Pali term is difficult to remember, yeah.
So when rupa is experienced or touched now, we don't even have to say it's hot or cold or softness. It's just tangible object, that's all. Potthappa dhatu, that's all.
Last question. What is not tattoo?
What is not tattoo? Yeah, concept, right.